Welcome back, everybody. And happy Friday afternoon to you. My name is Maggie Dawn. You're listening to the Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. We're doing this Friday afternoon's installment of Ask Maggie. Feels like we've been on hiatus for quite some time. And to kick off this next segment, I'm actually going to ask Jamie something. Do you think we're going to have a Cash Patel, Dan Bongino resignation before we reconvene here on Monday on the Maggie Dawn Show?
Now, I will say that reporters are trying to parse this out as I watch everything that's going on this afternoon. But it also looks like there is a potential that the White House may force out Bondi before they lose Patel and Bongino. Now, again, they're trying to parse that out, seeing if there is any reality to those claims as of right now, because obviously there are a few people who are really unhappy. But a person who has spoken with the deputy FBI director says that Bongino is out of control, furious. This whole non-release of the Epstein files completely destroyed his career, and that he's threatening to quit and torch Pam unless she's fired. And there's also reports that Bongino is telling the administration that it's either him or Bondi at this point. I think Cash Patel is probably just sitting back and watching what's happening, if it's true that he also may step out if because of the Epstein files. So
it's
we shall
Dan Bongino is such a incredible actor, and I mean that in all senses of the word, meaning the man's not credible, and what's been going on is incredible, like hard to believe. This guy is a complete crackpot. He is major temper control issues. He's about as ill-suited to be deputy director of the FBI as a fish is to ride a bicycle. I don't understand this. If I was Donald Trump, right, like, what's the calculus here? Because you've got Pam Bondi. I think he may be harder pressed to find someone to become attorney general and get through a confirmation process. But man, if Cash and or Bongino are gone, I say good riddance. To me, those two are scarier actors than is Pam Bondi.
And
I just think it's because of the unhingedness. It's because of they're also not even constrained by the de minimis lawyer ethics rules that Pam Bondi is. Speaking of which, there has been a lawyer's ethics complaint filed against Pam Bondi in the state of Florida. So that'll take some time to proceed. But these guys, their ability to lie and make stuff up knows no bounds. None at all.
It's amazing that podcasters turned, FBI directors are having a difficult time. Who would have thought?
Hard to predict when you've had absolutely nothing to. We've digressed off the Ask Maggie topic, but just with this additional breaking news.
These are important things that we're going to be watching over the weekend, because by Monday, this could be a completely different situation in the Trump administration. We have no idea. I mean, we've seen these little skirmishes in Trump version one. Not so much so far in version two. We haven't seen a lot of that.
Of the people with any integrity refuse to have anything to do with them. So there's no one to stand up for anybody else. But it's coming to a head with the Epstein thing. I always wondered why the MAGAverse was so into Jeffrey Epstein and this
very
entire
weird
line. It's like, this isn't just a Democratic problem or a Democratic Party problem. Donald Trump, there are hundreds, perhaps thousands of pictures of Donald Trump over the course of 20 plus years with Jeff Epstein. He was on his plane probably about as much as anybody else was, if not more. They hung out together. They were friends. Now Donald Trump acts like, I have no idea who Jeff. His typical response. I mean, is anybody really surprised that the attorney general under Donald Trump's direction and thumb is saying there's no there when it comes to the Epstein files? Of course.
No.
From a reputational perspective, Bongino's whole angle was, I know all about Epstein, and this is really bad. Well, the problem when you just make stuff up all the time, Dan, is that you might also be torturing your future boss. Nobody knows exactly what the relationship between Donald Trump and Jeff Epstein was, but fact, is there a picture with Donald Trump and a bunch of young women and Jeff Epstein? Yeah.
And Jeff Epstein on tape calling Donald Trump one of his closest friends for decades, right? So we have all of that. That is proof. And
they
so
have financial dealings together. I mean, this is not at all new news. And again, I always wondered, like, what's your long game to the Bonginos and all these folks pounding the table for the Epstein files when Donald Trump has this well-documented history of being very close with Jeff Epstein? And the biggest thing that you know, Pam Bondi saying, there's nothing in the Epstein files, don't worry about it. It's just child porn. Part of that problem is that, you know, in certain corners of the internet, the video footage from Jeffrey Epstein's alleged suicide in Rikers Island is missing minutes, like the relevant minutes. Now, Pam Bondi this week at a cabinet meeting told reporters, oh, that's because the videotape, the system is old and it resets every day at around this time. We're looking to find the similar minutes that are missing it. Pam, are you really expecting people to believe?
Actually, I think she is.
Yeah, in that she is. In the coinky dink of coinky dinks, that the old-timey video recording equipment just happens to go off at the 2 minutes during which Epstein is alleged to have hung himself. I mean, that's just a bridge too far. Again, some corners of the internet this afternoon alleging that metadata from those electronic recordings shows that it was stitched together, that there actually wasn't some initial recording problem, that it was edited after the fact. I mean, my goodness, Jamie, this is like, get your popcorn. If you didn't know what you were doing this weekend, just grab your popcorn and tune in to your favorite 24/7 newscast, because this is going to be an interesting one to spin.
This is better than anything you're going to find on Netflix this summer, just in case anybody's wondering.
No kidding. Thanks to Jacob running the board for me this afternoon. We've got a tornado watch in Kenosha County. Again, a tornado watch in Kenosha County. We've had some severe weather in many spots across the state this afternoon. Folks, please be aware, be safe. Don't take any risks while you're out there. We got one of our longtime listeners on the line. Carmelo from Milwaukee, say hi to Jamie. How are you, my friend?
I'm very well. Hi, Jamie. Hi, Maggie.
Hi, how are you?
Hey.
Very well. I wanted to ask, kind of along the vein of what you were talking about with Patel and Bondi, Maggie, you had admitted that, you know, maybe you've heard like an employee or someone under you speaking ill of you or whatever. Mm-hmm. Have you ever like held on to a personal little, like maybe like a sneer, like every time you had to deal with them?
Yeah, this is a great question, Carmela, because I have always tried, especially when I grew into leadership positions, I tried very hard to not take that kind of stuff personally and try to find the kernel of what I thought was an accurate, if poorly packaged, criticism. Like, hey, what's my opportunity to do a little better here? I do not hold grudges. I don't forget stuff. I mean, I will remember, if I'm being really honest, I remember folks that back-channeled things or didn't come to me directly and just straight up tell me to my face, I disagree, I think you're totally off base, or I need you to do more of this or less of this. Because I would rather someone do that than sort of whisper campaign and going around my back. But even folks, if they held an objection to my decision-making or whatever it was as a leader of a department, if they felt that in good faith and they brought that in whatever way to light, my opportunity as a leader is in that moment to humbly try to take from that what is the thing that I should be doing better. I might not agree with the entirety of the criticism, but usually there's something in there that is worthy of my deep self-reflection and, frankly, a commitment to try to do a little better. To me, those are the opportunities where leaders actually can show some leadership and to try to do better. And again, not taking all this stuff personally. It's hard if someone's criticizing you, if it's hard if somebody's talking behind your back. But though that's the difference between children and adults, that adults care about the thing that we're doing, our shared purpose, our mission. Adults care about the results and the outcomes, and they will work past their personal feelings or, frankly, set them aside where appropriate to ensure that the mission of the organization and what you're doing is and always remains front and center. I can tell you this, that is so vastly more important in the public sector than anybody could ever imagine. If you can envision my intolerance for people making it about themselves, of elevating their self-interest over an entity's mission or objective in general life, you can only imagine how ticked off I would get if people wanted to make the business of public service about them instead of the public. You're a civil servant. You are a public servant, meaning you serve. You don't center yourself. And I think it's high time that elected officials, especially in the Donald Trump and folks from the MAGA movement, remind themselves that they are there to serve others and not to have others serve them and their individual personal interests. I think, again, ego and self-interest, it can explain, unfortunately, vast swaths of what we see going wrong these days with MAGA and elected officials writ large. Jamie, I know you've led teams. What are your thoughts on taking and receiving criticism or hearing back-channeled whispering negativities about folks?
You know this about me. I don't do the back channel. That is not something that I would rather be direct. I would rather be honest. I would rather have those conversations and work it out and go from there. We've owned our own business. I've never done public service. That's not where I've always and ever been, but we've owned our own business and a very small business. And so being able to, I want to say, put out maybe those fires. And when I mean fires, you know, just the smoke that starts to arise a little bit. I think that's, for us, was always incredibly important. We had such a small staff that we couldn't risk having anybody with any sort of angst or any sort of anger or anybody who was upset, because we were trying to make small town radio happen at warp speed. And you have to have everybody on the same page to do that. And we were always just very, my husband and I, let's just be honest with one another. If did something to upset you, please tell us. We would rather know that than everybody just pins and needles. I don't do that.
Nobody
I
wants
get very
to do
awkward
it.
And uncomfortable in that.
I'll say this one last thing on this general point. I think there is so much to be gained when someone is willing to hear that kind of direct criticism or even indirectly. And what everybody that has ever worked with me or for me knows is I will show up for that. I will be here through that. I'll be here after that, because the thing, the mission, is more important than I am. Folks, when we come back, we're going to turn the page and do a little bit of what's good, local, and overlooked with one of our favorite guests on the Maggie Dawn Show, my friend and yours, Terry Barr. Don't miss it. Keep it locked.